Acts chapter 1. He's supposed to clean these things. That didn't work. So they got fingerprints on it. Maybe I can see around them. Acts chapter 1. Have you heard me say that God said that His church is in Acts chapter 1 through 4 and right now we're in Acts chapter 1? Have you heard me say that? Have you read Acts chapter 1 through 4 in the last 6 weeks? Have you read it? Thank you. Repeatedly. Thank you. Do you know what's coming? I wish you could know what's coming. God's been telling me for 30 years what's coming, and I can hardly wait. And it seems like it's right around the corner, and I am about to. I've been waiting for this for 30 years. Like, hearing you're going to have this birthday party or something, you know, or something, and it's like, and year after year goes by and you don't get one, you know, and then it's like, but you know when it comes, it's not going to be like nothing you ever experienced before. It's going to be like way beyond. Whew. I can't. I'm so excited. But before Acts chapter 2 is Acts chapter 1. Do you know what God is wanting to do here? Do you understand this is just like God? See, if we had a church of 1,000... Thank you. If we had a church of 1,000 and God said, I'm going to do something so that like 3,000 people got saved and added to the church in one day. You'd think, okay, well, we got 1,000, you know, that's three each, you know. We can handle that. That's not what happened in Acts chapter 1. There's just a few. And 3,000. The whole church was birthed and 3,000 just like came in. Preach to a crowd. Thank you very much. I love that. Look at that. You can see through it. It's like glass. I like it. Imagine that. I got to learn how to do that myself. Oh, my word. It's so neat, man. It just, you know, when I look at this without these things, it's like I have to keep hold it further away, man. It's like it's kind of blurry, but when I look at it with these things, it gets all clear. It's so neat, man. Let's just read Acts chapter 1 for a second. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion. You know, I like it when Jesus shows Himself alive. I hated that all those years went to church and just had to believe He was there by faith. I'm so glad He shows Himself alive. I love it. He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And Jesus, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Did he say that to Glenn and Roxanne? That's funny. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, to know all these things, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Grand Rapids, in Michigan, and in America, and to the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey, which is about 1,000 yards. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode, or where stayed, both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Conrad, and Tom, and Glenn, and Roxanne. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. One accord. You know what that is? Wayne would tell us that if you're playing music and he's playing one chord and somebody else is playing a different one, they just don't jive. You know, I mean, they don't flow. They don't, I don't know what the other word you'd say. They don't harmonize. You know what that means? I don't know what that means, but they're not in one accord. It's like playing here and this one's over here doing something, and it's like they don't mix. But they were of one accord in prayer and supplication. God's doing some things here right now with us. He said we're in Acts chapter 1. God's trying to do something here with us. He's seeking what I see. He gave us a commandment, and that is to go back to where He wants us to be and to stay here and to keep praying. Just wait until He does what it is He said He's going to do. But you see, what happened when they went back to Jerusalem? They all had their own agendas, their own mindsets, their own belief systems, their own opinions of what was coming. Their own ideas, their own ways. But what happened by verse, I think it was 14, where it says one accord in prayer and supplication, God brought them into unity. Unity without uniformity. We don't all have to look the same. Everything doesn't have to, we don't all have to be the same. Aren't y'all glad y'all don't have to have lose all your hair and get all chubby? You know, and look, aren't you glad you could just look like you look and be like you are? You see, it's unity without uniformity. But what did they come into unity about? They were waiting for the promise of the Father. They were waiting. Has God given you some promises? Has God spoken into you about what He wants to do in your life? Has He? Is there a call on your life? Is there something that you know down inside? You don't always understand it up here, but down in here, you have a desire to do stuff. Like you start, for example, let's say you start, well, for me, it's witnessing. I love to witness. I love to talk to people about Jesus. I love to share His life. There's like nothing I enjoy more than that. I know that's His call on my life. When I'm doing that, it's like I'm... The other day I went without lunch just so I could just... I kept thinking, Lord, it's time to eat. And He's like, you can live off the fat of the land for a while. And... This guy, I was in his house doing his tub, and this guy doesn't know Jesus from a doorknob. And God had me say some words to him, and then I handed him one of these. And I said, I feel like God would have you to read it. Why don't you read this thing? So he read it. He got through reading it, and I said, let's go over what it says. What's the first point? Jesus is God in the flesh. Do you believe that? He goes, how do I know? I'm so glad you asked. And I just spent time. I said, Lord, I know all kinds of verses I could share with him on that. What do you want me to say? And God, I asked him, do you have a Bible? He goes, no. I said, I mean, do you have a Bible in your house? He goes, no, I don't. Dude. It's been a long time. Somebody told me they didn't have a Bible in their house. Everybody's got one. I asked somebody the other day. They had to go up into the attic and go into a trunk. And they finally found it. It took them about 15 minutes to find it. But, you know, I said, do you have a Bible? Yeah, I've got one. And, of course, they found all this other stuff that, you know, they hadn't seen because it's all stored away, you know. It's like, this lady. This is incredible. This guy didn't even have a Bible in his house. So I went out and got one out of my glove box. It was like a little New Testament, you know, a little switchblade. And so I brought it in. It's all falling apart, you know, because I've given away all the other ones. And I took them to the Bible, and I said, let's look what the Bible has to say. So I took them through step by step, point by point in this thing about how to know Jesus. Now, it was lunchtime, but by the time I was done, it was almost dinner time. And it was like, I didn't really care. Because I cared about what God was doing. Jesus was witnessing to a lady in John chapter 4. His disciples came and said, don't you want something to eat? And he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And he was witnessing this lady, the woman at the well in Samaria. That's what fed him. That's what he lived on. It was the life of God flowing through him. See, you like His presence. You like God's presence. What I want to help you with is, I want to help you with learning to live in His presence. You come to church and it's like, it's good. But wouldn't it be neat if you could be living this when you're not here? Now, there's different albums that we buy, and some of them that you may know about. Sue just bought some more called like The Fire by Night, The Cloud by Day, The Messengers of Fire, stuff like that. They won't be around long. I'm just letting you know. We've just got some now, so whoever, first come, first serve. And if you want more, just let us know and we'll get them. Because we spend about $300 or $400 at a time buying these things, you know. And it's hard to spend more than that at a time, you know, have money out there, sitting there. So as soon as they get bought, we buy more, you know. But there's more, like what we talked about last week. We talked about living in His presence. Do you remember living in His presence? We talked about entering into His presence. Well, can I just share this with you again? Just to remind you? Entering into His presence? Do you remember the first point? That's right. Put all your burdens, bring all your burdens to Jesus. Go ahead. You want to read the outline? Go ahead. Exactly right. We need to get empty. Thank you, Jan. We need to get empty. We talked about, you know, going to Outback Steakhouse or some other place and eating their food. When you're done, Glenn and Roxanne, Sue was gone this week, so Glenn and Roxanne called me and said, "Could we take you out to dinner?" I'm like, no, that's okay. I don't really like to eat. Why? And I said, sure. They said, where you want to go? I said, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I said, I just want to be with you. They said, let's go to Chili's. Okay, let's go to Chili's. So we went there. The lady says, what do you want to eat? And I'm like, what are you getting, Glenn? So he got a steak, so I got a steak. We got done eating this food. I mean, Glenn didn't eat. Glenn wolfed. Tell me I'm lying. No, I'm not lying, am I? She was saying, I'm trying to teach Glenn how to chew. He inhales. Dude, he says, what do you think their stomach's for? It'll digest it. I'm thinking, poor tummy, you know? Dude, you're supposed to give it a break and chew it up first and let it get down there and then the acid will do it. Not Glenn, chew, dude. It's like, whoa, how'd he do that? I'm still eating. I mean, like my first bite, man, it's clean, place clean. We got the same exact thing. Woof! Dude, I'm telling you, gone. See, I enjoy my food. Not Glenn. He don't even like food. He just woofs it, man. It's like, this is something I have to do. He must be like Sue. This is something I have to do. I'll just get it out of the way. You know? It was just like that. It was gone. She comes in and says, do you want dessert? And I'm like, we're all going, you know, no. She goes, oh, well, you're missing it. We have this new mountains chocolate slide or something. And I'm thinking, lady, I wouldn't like it if it was a chocolate-covered pea. I can't eat anymore. You understand? Nada. You know? If we are full, God can't come fill us. But you're hungry, aren't you? You're hungry, aren't you? I thought that was point number two. It said, or whatever, it's in there somewhere. Cast all your cares and burdens on Jesus, point one. But learn to do this every day. Confess your sin. Break agreement. Confess Him. Ask Him, God, is there something in me? And you know what? As soon as He brings it to your attention, confess it. God, I don't want that in me, but it is in me. But I'm asking you to forgive me. Boom! Boom! It's done. He doesn't sit there. Jesus doesn't put guilt on people and beat them with a hammer and, you know, you've done this 490 times, you know. I'm getting a little tired of it. I mean, that's not Jesus. That's the devil. Remember? I liked what I said last week. I didn't even know what I was going to say, and I liked what I said because I meditated on it during the week. I learn a lot when I talk because God says a lot of things through me, and I think about it later. I like it. When you confess your sin, He says, what sin are you talking about? It's already taken care of. I've already taken care of. And then realize He's inviting you to come. You just confessed your sin. Now He's inviting you to come. See, you can't have fellowship with sin, but as soon as you confess that, boom, He says, now, let's spend time together. Wouldn't it be neat if when you went to work, you and Jesus just did it together? Wouldn't it be neat? I mean, like if everywhere you went, you go to work, and Jesus and you are just doing it together. And you go to pick something up, and He reaches out and picks it up with you. It's easier when two of you do it, isn't it? And you're thinking about, you know, an upcoming bondage ceremony. I'm sorry, an upcoming wedding. And you're thinking of all kinds of things, you know. And but instead of you trying to think about it and figure it out, if you just, you and Jesus are working together, why don't you just talk to Him about it? Little puny little brain just ain't going to do it. But you and Jesus, see, y'all are hanging out. Y'all are both working together. He's your best friend. So you just talk to Him about it. And you just hang out with Him. Just hang out with Him. He's inviting you. And what's neat is He's inviting you, and all you got to do is invite Him. That's how you accept His invitation, by inviting Him. I like to come to your house. I like to come hang out with you. And then you just say, come on in. Come on in. Oh, I got to go over here and stock these shelves. Could I go with you? Sure. Come on, Jesus. And you just go stock the shelves with Jesus. I'm telling you. Think I'm just telling you. I have done it with so many different jobs. It's incredible. You're living your life with Jesus. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait till you can get back out in your car or at home and play the worship music. You take the worship music with you because you take the worship with you. Learn to let every breath be as worship unto God. Every breath. God, every time I breathe today, I just want you to receive it as worship. Teach me how to live there. Whew. It's incredible. You see, the hungry are filled. Are you hungry? I'm hungry. I'm hungry, God. He says, did you know? He says, I'm better than Outback because I melt in your mouth. As a matter of fact, I melt in your heart. Matter of fact, I melt all over you just like oil running down. And the neat thing about Him is, He satisfies. He's the neatest person you ever meet. Every need you have, He can meet. You're hurting. God's done a lot of inner healing in me. I went to a meeting on Friday night down in Plainwell again this Friday night, two nights ago. And I'm the one who called it. I called this pastor and said, feel like God wants us to get together, and He goes, okay, but I didn't even know what for. But I said, invite anybody you want. So He invites all His people. We just basically listened to worship music and got into God's presence, and whatever God wanted to do, He did, and whatever. And I got ready to leave. I put my coat on, and I got ready to leave. They were all just sitting in a chair, just blasted in the presence of God. They were just like... And the music quit, and they just stayed there for like a long time. Okay, God, I'm just going to leave them with You. And I start to leave. And I put my coat on, put my hat on, and I start to leave. And God said, why don't you go back over there? I'm like, okay. So I walked back over. He says, take that chair and put it in the center. So I took the chair. They were in a circle. Put it in the center. He says, tell them you'd like prayer. I said, okay, I'd like prayer. I didn't know I needed prayer. I mean, I was fine. I was just, I mean, you know, I always need prayer. But what I'm saying is I it wasn't like I was hurting or whatever. I was ready to leave. And God said, go and just tell them I'd like prayer if y'all like to pray for me. That's exactly the way I said it. And they all just started gathering around me. Somebody got down here and held my feet. They were laying on the floor and other people. And while they were praying, the love of God was flowing so much in me. I was like giggling, I guess that's the word. I was like, just started giggling. This flow of God was just flowing into me, and it was like warm syrup or something, like bathed in like warm liquid light or something. It was incredible. Are you ready? Ready? And I had a vision. I don't get visions all the time. Sue gets visions all the time. Janai gets visions all the time. I don't get to have visions all the time. I just walk around just loving Jesus. You know, I just know He's here. I don't see Him and stuff. I just know it. God always gives Sue all these visions and stuff. I get jealous a lot of times, you know. Glenn gets to see all these visions. We're praying. He gets to see all this stuff. I don't get to see all this stuff. I'm glad He surrounds me with people that get to see all this stuff, and then they share with me. I had a vision. And it was like I was looking up at all these people that were around me, because I was a little boy. I was a little boy, and I was in a playpen. I was this little boy. And I said, Am I a baby? And he was like, no, you're a little boy. And I'm like, oh. And all these people in my vision were standing over the playpen, and they were all just loving me and going, oh, isn't he cute? And they're like, oh, go, go, go. And stuff. And I was like, you know, you do with that whatever you want, but I'm going to tell you something. I got so ministered to. The healing life of God was flowing into me. I didn't even know. I've already experienced this to some degree, and I thought, oh, darn, that's good, but it's in the past. Oh, well, I guess I'm just supposed to help everybody else get this now. And God's like, oh, Har, little Har, I can't give you some more. Because I care about you. See, God doesn't use people. He doesn't just want to flow through me. He wants to heal me and love me. And then out of that healed place, I want to let Him flow. It's not like I'm being used. Do you understand? Don't ever say God used me. God flows through you as you choose to cooperate. And I'm just, all I know is I kept looking, I kept seeing all these, and God said, they're your aunts and your uncles. That's what I felt like. All these people were my aunts and my uncles, and they're all just, look at him, isn't he cute? And they were talking to each other. I was getting so ministered to. And I got up, and after a bit, I was trying to tell him about it. And, I mean, I'm having a hard time because... I was probably squealing. I can't help it, but I was squealing, and I tried to tell him about it, and telling him, you know, oh, I can't even tell you. It's like I'm just like bathed in like this warm sunlight or something. It's like it's just pouring all over me. I said, thank you for loving me, or I don't know what I said. I don't know. I just said whatever I said, and the pastor said, would y'all pray for me? I'm in pain. So we go over, I went over and I go to pray for him, and this lady, his wife, is sitting there. Now watch, she reaches up and she pokes me in the cheek, like that. And God said, she's poking you like you were a little baby, you know, to get like getting the dimple, putting the finger in the dimple or trying to make the kid smile or something. And she starts laughing. And I knew that's exactly what she was doing. Just like I was a little kid. And she was poking me like that and started laughing. Is that awesome? I mean, I don't know. You do with that whatever. I got it. You know, it doesn't matter if y'all think I'm silly or what. I don't care. See, I didn't get that when I was a kid. My parents raised me like I was a little soldier from Jump Street. My parents had all these expectations on me. My name is Harvey Jackson Hampton IV. I'm the oldest son of the oldest son for 5 generations. I didn't get a name, I got a number. And I was expected to perform. And as far back as I can remember, we would meet people. I would meet, my folks would introduce me to people, whoever. And the pictures of me as a little kid, I was all dressed up in suits as a little boy. With ties and bow ties and stuff. And people, I can remember people saying to me, as far back as I can remember people saying to me, oh, you're a little gentleman. I was never allowed to be a little kid. So if you ever wonder why I'm being silly and dancing around here and doing stuff, God's like, it's not that I'm so old I've gone back to my second childhood yet. I'll probably get there. But it's that God is letting, He's going back and healing me and giving me what I didn't get as a kid. So what you didn't get loved, you didn't get coddled, you didn't get believed in. Parents were too busy for you, didn't have time. You can get that those needs met in God. But it starts out by what we're talking about, getting into His presence. Inviting Him in. Because He's inviting you in. That blows me away that God desires. He desires our presence. He says, Eddie, would you come play with me today? Eddie's like, but you're God. He goes, I know it, and I like to play. Can we skip around? If you are free, if you were healed, you could be free. Do you understand? If you were healed, you could be free. And He wants to heal you. It's going to come in His presence. And you know that. What I'm saying to you is we need to learn how to enter into His presence more often. So much so that you learn to live there. Acts chapter 1. God has some promises. God has some things He's spoken down inside of you. You know what you wish. You want to be released. You know there's things that you want to do. It starts out by us waiting on God. Inviting God, getting in His presence. And God's wanting to bring all of us into one accord. So when we walk in this building, we walk in here as individuals. But what He's wanting to do, bring us together as a family. Are you getting this? Are we coming here? When you're at home, do you wear a suit and tie? Do you understand? Okay, how do I say this, Lord? Don't you like to go home? Don't you feel more free at home than you do other places? Can't you be yourself? I mean, it may not always be that way. Sometimes you have things going on, but you know what I'm talking about. Wouldn't it be neat if this was home? Wouldn't it be neat if this was home? And when you came here, you could just be free and not worry about what people are thinking? Because you would know that they just love you just like you are. And they're praying for you. And they're believing in you. Wouldn't that be neat? God is wanting to do something inside of us, folks. Because God is wanting to reach this world. Can I just ask you a question and we'll be done? One question. I can think about one.